Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. Shana Tova and Chag Sameach. We wish you the best for the new year as Rosh Hashanah approaches early next week. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landes presents a commentary on Nitzavim. Rabbi Daniel Landes is the Rosh HaYeshiva and director of the Pardes Institute. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. These weeks before Rosh Hashanah, we read the parsha of Nitzavim. Nitzavim is very forthright about the condition of the Jewish people. At the very beginning, it says, "Atem Nitzavim hayom kolchem lifnei Adonai Eloheichem Roshechem Shivtechem Ziknechem Veshotrechem." Call Ish Yisrael, Tapchem, Neshechem, Vegercha, Asher, Bekerv, Machanecha, Mechote, Veitzecha, Ad, Shoev, Memecha. You stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God. Your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, the stranger that is in thy camp, from the ewer of thy wood to the drawer of thy water. And just from these first verses, we learn a number of things about the Jewish people. And the first thing is that there's all different types of Jews in all different parts of society, gender, age, occupation, class, as it were. But everyone stands. Everyone is equal. Atem Nitzavim, you're all standing today. Kolchem, all of you. And if one group is missing and one group's not represented and one group is off, then no one is standing. Because the condition placed here is Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kolchem. The only way you can stand is if you're all standing together. And how do we stand lifnei Hashem Elokechem before the Lord thy God? For the Lord thy God, all these distinctions are meaningless. They make sense in a limited way in our society, but they make no sense before God. God can catalog this group as well as anybody else, but he says, all I want is for you to be standing. And so you're standing, people are equality. You're standing, everyone needs to be present. And you're standing, as opposed to lying, or sitting, or crouching, or genuflecting. This seems to be one of the major Jewish positions. You stand up. According to the Halacha, when you stand before God in prayer, you're not allowed to lean on anything. If you're old, if you're ill, it's a different question. There are all sorts of permissions. But a person in their youth, and even a person in their older age, where they're able to do the prayer, the Amidah, they stand without even putting a fingertip on anything. As these holidays approach, I have the image of my teacher, Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, the famed Rav, the master, at his services that he conducted, was part of in Boston. The Rav had the custom that during the repetition of the Amidah, repetition of the silent devotion, which is the prayer, which is the cornerstone of all prayer in general, that during the prayers on the holy days, on all days, in the repetition by the reader, repetition by the chazan, chazarat hashatz, he would stand. In fact, he would stand, and his students still have that custom. The notion of standing is that the congregation is one with the reader, one with the chazan. The silent devotion they did on their own was a prayer that they did bitzibor within the community, a prayer within the community, each one on their own. And then, in terms of the repetition of the Amidah, it now has become not the repetition by the reader, even though we call it that, even though it's a chazarat hashatz, the repetition by the reader, but it's a repetition of the entire community. The entire community repeats it as one through the vocalization, through the utterances of the community's representative, of the chazan, of the shlech tzibur, the shatz, the reader. And therefore, he would instruct us that we should also stand, because we are one with him. It's one community. Periodic times in my rabbinic career, my teaching career, I've asked students, congregants, to also stand for the Amidah. When you stand during a weekday service for the Amidah, the repetition, it may be all of 5 minutes, 6 minutes, on a Shabbos, when there's more cantorial delights, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, not much more than that. However, as you know, on the holy days, repetition could be for several hours. And I have that image of my teacher, Rabbi Soloveitchik, standing, while many of his students had just sat down already, standing without leaning on anything, without leaning on a shtender, on a podium, without having his legs touch a chair for some sort of support, standing, because that's how a Jew does. He stands before God without any support. There's no crutch. There's no barrier. No prop. Literally propping you up. You stand today. This is how we stand. And so we all stand together, each one in its place, and we stand directly in front of God in this characteristic position. And there's no defense except for his mercy. I think we should also consider the group as articulated. Rashechem Shivtechem could be translated as your chiefs and your judges, or here the captains of your tribes. It's been translated. But those kind of on the social, top social class. Ziknechem, which normally refers to those who have the wisdom of old age, which often includes that of the Torah. Veshotreichem, your officers, your police officers, those entrusted with responsibility of carrying things out and of guarding the community, internally guarding the community. Kol Ish Israel, every man of Israel. But it's not every man of Israel, because it includes not just men, tapachem, your kids, and really, tapachem is more like kiddies, and the shechem, your wives, v'gercha asher b'kerv machanecha, and the strainer that's within your midst of your camp. I'll come back to that. Mechotei v'etzecha ad shoev memecha, from the ewers of wood to the drawers of water. So you have all those, we have all sorts of responsibility. The last two are interesting. It says from, it was like the whole expanse, as it were, of the ewers of thy wood, woodcutters, lumberjacks, to the drawers of thy water, to those who bring the water, you know, the water boys, the water girls. These are positions of not great status. But what's, again, fascinating here is it says, from the expanse, may chote veitzecha, choiv me mecha. From those drawers of wood, all the way through the category of viewers of wood, of drawers of water, all the way through that category. It doesn't sound like a large expanse. But there may be some differences. The chote veitzecha, the lumberjack, the one who fells the wood. This is often a dangerous profession. Certainly, it's dangerous because of the wood that may fall. It's further dangerous because the instrument that leads to the felling of the wood, the sharp knives and the all sorts of saws, and whether they're of the old variety or the new variety. These are very dangerous items. Shoev meimecha, on the other hand, drawers of water, it's basically a bucket and a rope and maybe a larger bucket on the other side or a trough. Normally the chotei veitzecha are those those hewers of wood who have great energy. They're strong. They may even be outlandish. They live on living on the edge. They're known to battle each other. They're known to be physical with each other. Those are the Chotev Eitzecha. The Shoev Melecha, the drawers of the water, are those on the bottom. This is the job without any need for any sort of education. It's not like Chotev Eitzecha. It's not like the years of wood in which you have to know where to hit the piece of wood and how to hit it and how many. Here, you let the bucket down with your rope, you bring it back up, you draw it back up, you fill up whatever you're filling up, and then you continue the process again. So the Chotev Eitzecha seems to be of a dominant position to the Shoev Meimecha. Much more alive, much more on the edge, literally the edge of the knife, the edge of the hatchet. Much more out there, much more prone, for that matter, to conflict, because when you're around people cutting things down, it releases certain types of energies. On the other hand, the Chotev Eitzecha can be understood as a person in an oppositional point of view. He's a destroyer. He's a cutter down. He's not a replenisher. He's a Chotev Eitzecha. He uses the implements of war against your ecological system. He may be a person who's not as admired as Shoev Meimecha, as a person who carefully measures out water and doesn't give that which a person does not deserve. In any event, these two seem to participate within an expanse of Jewish expanse of the community. They represent two different parts of the community. And we need a Shoev Meimecha. We need those who draw the water, who may be more docile, who may be not in any sort of glamorous position. But without water, you die. Without something to drink, well, you just shrivel up and you're no longer there. And those who are the lumberjacks may be living on the edge, but we benefit from what they do. And therefore we need them, we need their energy, we need their ability to move things, able to think, cut things down, to get things going. This is what we need. And therefore that becomes an expanse, which is an important expanse, not just in some sort of hierarchical way, but actually an expanse of service, both of them serving God. There's another group that's concluded within here. And that group included in here, and that is the Gercha, the stranger. There's different possibilities here. The Ger, the stranger, maybe not as a strange. He may be a convert to Judaism, but makes it just part of the Jewish experience. The Rambam actually rejects that position, and it stands Gercha here to refer to the Ger Toshav, not the convert, but the resident alien, the person who has caused himself to dwell with you. That becomes interesting. It's not only the Roshechem, Shivtechem, Uziknechem that are important. The heads of the community, the judges, the older, senior ones who have the experience of the Torah knowledge, the Shaltrechem, and those with the senior ability to police. But it also includes not only those who are in the bottom society, as it were, Chotev Eitzecha, Shoev Meimecha, but it needs to include, and does include, the Ger Toshav, the resident alien. And about all these people, and the community is not complete without that stranger who is in your midst. And what's the reason? Well, Avracha, verse 11, the verse that came just after the first two verses that we quoted, to make you pass through, I mean accomplish, this covenant with the Lord your God. And they fulfill the covenants and his oath. That the Lord God has established his cut with you today. In any event, what's the purpose of everyone standing there is they enter into a covenant. And therefore all Jews are equal. But not only that, even the Ger Toshav is brought into the covenant. Of course, his position and his where he fits in is a little bit different. He's not one of the immediately covenanted ones. But it says here, Asher Avchal Rabis, is that he is ready to be covenanted. In which way is this correct? Well, he's covenanted as a Ger Toshav. He's covenanted with basic laws of morality, basic belief in the divine, laws of morality and belief in the divine. And we understand that that becomes the basis of a functioning society. It's not only that a Jew has to be able to live in a general society, we have to work towards a host culture that makes that Jew available. That Jew being able to be accepted within his own community, that Jew accepted as a Jew in the outside community, and make his or her contribution that way. But it's more than that. The bris that we're talking about here, is the covenant that includes this Ger Toshav. It includes them in all their moral dealings. In that sense, they don't become Jewish, but they receive the dignity of Brit. Their Brit is of Adam Harishon. They have the covenant of the first Adam, who chose a moral community to live in, the Garden of Eden. When he left the garden, his community did shrink. But since this time, it's always been a smaller and smaller community. Here we decide that we need the Ger in our community. We need that resident alien. Not as just some sort of, excuse the expression, Shabbos goy, to do for us what we can't do on our own, but actually to make the contributions from his own life. The Ger Toshav does not enter the community of Israel through marriage. The Ger Toshav is never understood as being Jewish. But the Ger Toshav is fully and totally understood as being part of the larger community. And this is where I leave you today, really, on the first psukim of this beautiful and stirring parsha, where we stand in front of God directly with no crutch or no defense. We stand with each other in such a way that if anyone's missing, we are not complete. We stand before God with our fellow Jews, all of us together, and even with that non-Jew who can join us on the way and be able to offer his contribution to our people. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.